Amen. I like the book of Luke. Amen. I liked it so good I named my son after it. Then I say, Luke, I'm your father. I couldn't help it, amen. I think that's all Star Wars. I ain't never watched a day in my life, amen. Still funny though, amen. I like it. Oh my, y'all rough. Luke chapter 13, it's been a good year. Amen. Amen. As far as the calendar of years is concerned, this one's about over. We're about out of here. Lord tarries, we'll start a new one. Who would have ever thought we'd see 2019? And that's talking that we will. The Lord might take us out of here before then, but hey, who would have ever thought? Amen. The Lord wouldn't already took us home. Amen. I like the Word of God. Let me read you this verse. Luke chapter 13 wants you to be. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18. Paul writing to the Corinthian church, he says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Paul's outlining, I guess, if you would, his ministry of why the Lord sent him. And he said, you know, he didn't send me to baptize. I'm not here to place you under water. We'll do it, and Lord permit. And he done it, of course, in the book of Corinthians. He even wrote about baptizing. But that wasn't his purpose, amen. There are things that we do. But he said, that wasn't my purpose. It's to preach the gospel. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he die for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day? And he didn't want to preach it, with wisdom words or words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He's not trying to preach it way up here and above somebody, make him look eloquent and wax real beautiful before the people. He just said, hey, I've come to preach. And he said in verse number 18, "For the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness." That preaching of the cross, how that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day, is foolishness to those that are lost. Amen. You think, what does that got to do with anything? But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. What is that like, the preaching of the Word of God? And I said that to say this, when it comes to preaching, amen, I guess there's been times in my life, I'm sure there have been, and maybe more than I'd want to admit it. You know, you kind of preach and want to be eloquent and wax real beautiful, and people say, well, preacher, you preached a good message. You know, you come to realize that it's just preaching this book. And it's just saying what the Lord has to say, and God can get a lot done. And this morning I have a message from the Lord. I know the Lord give it to me, and I just give you what the Lord said. And if you'll take heed to the Word of God, it'll do something in your life. Yeah. Amen. And that's what we need to do, is come to church expecting God to speak to our hearts. Yeah. Whether you want to realize it or not, God speaks through preaching. Yeah. And God knows exactly what we need. And when it comes to preaching the Word of God as a preacher, you know, I could get up here and try to think what you would like and what you need and what would be good for you. And as a pastor, I have that kind of mentality, you know, you want to feed the people of God and help the people of God and give them something from the Word of God to help them another mile down the road for the Lord. Amen. But when the Lord gives you something to say, just say it, and hey, God's going to do what He needs to do. God knew you'd be here. Amen. And a God in heaven thought enough about you to speak to you through preaching. Amen. I mean, God shouldn't even look our way. But God would allow us to sit in church. It's not a social gathering. Amen. It's not a just Sunday thing, man. We come to church. Amen. And when you come to church and do it right and open up this book, God wants to speak. Amen. And it's your job to do something with what God has to say. We have the habit a lot of times is just shovel it back, you know. Boy, they needed that. Well, did you hear what God said to them? What about saying, God, speak for thy servant here? Amen. God wants to speak to your heart. You say, how, what way, what manner, what about? I have no idea. But I guarantee if you listen, he'd speak to you. And if you do something, your life would be the better for it. Luke chapter number 13, verse number 6. Amen. Everybody stand in honor of God's word if you're able. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 6. The most valuable and precious thing that you have physically on this earth is this Bible.
Amen.
The words of God. And they should be reverenced. Verse 6, what's the first word? He spake also this parable. And Jesus has gathered together this crowd, speaking to them, and he began to speak a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, and this is that servant of the vineyard, said to the Lord, the owner of the vineyard, that wanted it to be cut down because he sought 3 years and found no fruit thereon, let it alone. This year also I shall dig about it and dung it. It'd be fertilizing it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Let us pray. Amen. Brother Johnny Peel, how about pray for us? Yes, Lord. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. Oh, God, help us. Yes, God, help. Amen. All of God's people saying,
Amen.
Man, you may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor and respect to the Word of God. Remember Brother Johnny Peel's wife, Miss Peel, also. She's feeling bad. Amen. Jesus spoke this parable to this crowd about this fig tree that was planted in his vineyard. If you take the parable, amen, you see the owner of the vineyard would be God the Father, amen. The servant over the vineyard would be the Son, if you will. And he came after 3 years and saw no fruit on the fig tree. And he said, why cumbereth it the ground? Just cut it down, be done with it. And the servant, amen, speaking to the father, said, hey, let's just leave it alone for a year. I'll dig about it and I'll dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if it don't, then we'll just go ahead and cut it down. This parable shows the fruitlessness of the children of Israel. When he spoke this parable to the children of Israel, he's speaking about their historical stand, how that God came to the Jewish people, and over 4,000 years, one day represented a year in the parable, and a day as a 1,000 years, excuse me. Amen. The Lord uses things like that through the Word of God, like the Daniel 70th week of prophecy. You got those 70 weeks, and those weeks represent years, and they stand for things like that. And the parable that he spoke about these 3 years, and then the next year would be four years, and it represents 4,000 years of history. Amen. Well, the Lord began to work with the Jewish people in the beginning of the time, and for over 3,000 years he worked with them and tried to bring fruit out of their lives. But when he'd come to them, there was always this fig tree representing Israel with no fruit. Amen. And then finally he said, after 3 years, I'll just cut it down and be done with it. And then the servant said, no, let's give it one more year. Let's give it another 1,000 years span. We'll see what happens. And after the 4,000 years of span of history, the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth, if you study the history of the Word of God and God's dealing with man, I know science speaks about us being around trillions and millions of years and all that foolishness, but I'll just believe the book over science anytime. Amen. Hey, God made this thing, not no explosion, not no big bang. Amen. We didn't come from monkeys and tadpoles and all that foolishness that the world teaches. Hey, in the beginning, God, and God spoke it, and there it was. And God dealt with mankind up to 4,000 years, and the Son of God showed up in shoe leather, and it's been 2,000 years since then. So if you look at the history of God dealing with mankind, there's about 6,000 years of dealing with man. I believe the earth could be here longer than that, because he made the earth before he ever made man, and it was in dwelt with angelic beings, and you can go into all kind of that stuff, and we can talk about it later. But I'm dealing with God dealing with man, and God speaking to man, amen, because that's what we are, we men, amen, and we're human beings, amen. Well, you, some of you might not be, but that's what you are, you know, you're here, amen, and God formed us, and God gave us all life, amen, and God dealt with Israel, and he said, you know, for 3,000 years, I tried to see some fruit out of you, and I kind of got, you know, that's enough's enough, and he said, no, let's give them another year, give them another 1,000, and Jesus Christ showed up, and they were still fruitless. They were fig trees, amen, with no fruit. They were leaves with nothing there. He said, give it another 1,000 if it's over, and then we'll destroy it. And if you know history, in 70 AD, Titus came to Jerusalem and destroyed Jerusalem. Except for God sparing a remnant, if God wasn't gracious and long-suffering, there would be no Jewish race left, amen. But God left them, and God's not done with the Jews. Hey, you didn't replace the Jews. They will not be replaced. God will graft them back in. Romans chapter 11, God's not done with the children of Israel. But for 4,000 years, he done all he could. They wanted no king but Caesar. They didn't want Jesus. They didn't want God. And God said, hey, enough's enough. I'll cut them off and graft in the Gentiles. And that's where we're at today.
Amen.
But God's not done with them. God made an everlasting covenant with Abraham, and God will keep it. And one day that dead tree will rise again. Amen. Like Ezekiel 37, those dead bones will live again. And God will plant them back in their city. Amen. And give them their land. And God will reign over them and be their God and be their king. It's coming in the future. Amen.
Amen.
But there came a year that he said, hey, enough's enough. Cut her down. If she don't bear fruit this time, we're going to cut her off. Amen. There comes a time in our lives where God says, you know what? Enough's enough. Let's just cut it down. I put up with all I can put up. God is a long-suffering God, but you can push God to the brink. You can push him off long enough. You can do your own thing. And finally, God said, that's it. Cut it down. Amen. He said, give it another year. Verse number 8, the Bible said, and he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, that thou shalt cut it down. I wonder if this year will be your year. You're speaking about the new year coming in. People like to make the new year resolutions and, you know, of that effect and say, I'm going to change my life. But I wonder if, just like the Lord said here, he said, I'll just give it one more year. And I'll dug it and I'll try to fertilize it and I'll try to do all I can. But if they fail this year, I'm done with them. That's exactly what he said in the parable, amen. I wonder if we looked at that spiritually today and we looked at our own lives, and if God was to say, hey, this is the year, I'm giving you another chance. I am long-suffering, but some of the things that's going on in your life, if you don't make a change after this year, I'll just cut it off.
Amen.
We'll cut it down. We'll hewn it to the ground. I'll say enough's enough and I'll be done. That's the God of this book, amen. We think that God's just going to continue to pat us on the back and say it's okay. No, God's given you knowledge of things. God's dealt with you about things. God's convicted you about things. And sooner or later, God will say enough is enough.
Amen.
Going to talk to you about a couple of things this morning on will this be your year. Amen. Hey, number one, will this be the year that God gets tired of your fruitlessness? That's what was going on in this passage, amen. God got tired of their fruitlessness, amen. There was no fruit in their lives. Hey, look in chapter 13 in verse number 6. The Bible said this about the Lord. He said, and he spake also this parable, and a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came, and what did he do? Salt fruit thereon.
Yeah.
The Lord of the vineyard came looking for the fruit. He sought after it. The Bible said in verse number 7, he said it again. Then said the dresser into the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Hey, for 3 solid years, the owner of the vineyard came and he sought fruit and he looked for fruit. He wanted it. He desired it. He desired to enjoy the fruit of the tree that he had planted in his vineyard. That was his tree that he covered and thought enough about it to put it out there and to plant it out there. And he sought enjoyment out of this fruit tree. Amen. Do you know one day the Lord came by and saved your soul from a devil's hell?
Amen.
You that are saved by the grace of God, the owner of the vineyard said, I want you. I've come to seek you. I want to save you. I want to change your life. I want to make you a tree in my vineyard. I want you to bring fruit to me and bring glory and honor to me. And I want to enjoy your life.
Amen.
And for you could say 3 years, 5 years, 6 years. I don't know how many years it's been since the Lord saved you. God's been seeking every year for fruit. He sought some enjoyment out of your life. And all God has found was fruitlessness. There's no fruit, just a bunch of fig leaves. And that fig leaf throughout the Word of God typifies self-righteousness and no fruit. Amen. Do you know what God's getting out of a lot of saved people? Just a lot of self-righteousness. And just like Adam and Eve in the garden, God made them righteous. God made them right. God made them perfect, just like he did when he saved you. He made you perfect. He made you right. He corrected what went wrong in the garden when God saved you. And he saved you that you might bring forth fruit. But you know, all God's got is what he got out of Adam and Eve. Just a bunch of fig leaves showed up to cover up their nakedness. That's self-righteousness. They were made righteous. They were made in the image of God. They were perfect. There was nothing wrong with them. But instead of being what God wanted them to be, they had to cover up what they want. That's what God's seeing out of a lot of God's children. He's seeing a bunch of self-righteousness. That's a bunch of fig leaves showed up. There's nothing real. There's no fruit. There's no enjoyment out of your life. All it is the self-righteousness of your life. And you know what God said? I'm tired of seeing self-righteousness. For 3 years, that's all I've saw. And he said, hey, I'll just cut it down. And the Lord said, no, give them another year. I've dug it. We'll fertilize it. We'll try to make something out of them. He said, all right, go ahead. But if not this year, I'm done. I wonder if the year to come, the Lord's looking down today wanting to send you a message from heaven and saying, listen, I've been long-suffering. I've been merciful to you. I've saved your soul. I changed your life. I want fruit out of you. And all I get is self-righteous, just a little show up, you know, and act like I love the Lord and go to church and put on a suit and look good, but you go out and live like hell. I'm sick and tired of your self-righteous. I'm sick and tired of your acts. I want genuine Christianity out of you. I want something that's from the heart that shows forth to the world. Amen. And if I don't get it this year, enough's enough. I'm dunking it all I can. I'm teaching you the Word of God about salvation in Sunday school and how to overcome the stinking flesh and how to live productively and how to do something in this world. But if you don't soon start bringing forth fruit and lay down your self-righteousness on an altar, I might just cut you off.
Amen.
Enough's enough. He was sick and tired of the self-righteousness. It's not going to carry you but so far. It hindered Adam and Eve's walk with God. It'll hinder our walk with God. Hey, your purpose on this world is to bring fruit for the Lord. He sought for it. He seeked it. He wanted it. It was your purpose for being here. Do you know why God put you here? You have any clue why you're here on earth? I mean, if somebody were to come up to you and say, hey, why are you here? I'm talking to you that are saved and lost. Why are you here? Why did God breathe breath into your lungs? Why didn't God let you miscarriage? And that's sad stuff that happens in people's lives. But why did he let you live? Why did he let me live? Why did he give me a knowledge of the things of God? Hey, why did God give you the family? Why are you here on earth? I'm here to go punch the clock 7 days a week. I'm here to go make a living. I'm here to take care of my family. Those things you ought to do, but why in the world would God give you life? Would God give you life to go punch a clock? How does that benefit him?
Come on, bro.
God give you life to get married? How does that benefit him? Why in the world did God put you here on earth? He planted that fig tree in the vineyard. Why'd you put it there? What's the purpose? So it just looked good? Somebody get a look at it, smell it every once in a while. No, he put that tree in the vineyard so he could enjoy it. So he could enjoy the fruit of it. That's why he came looking for it. And he wanted some enjoyment out of it. I'm telling you, God put you on this earth for enjoyment of him, for his pleasure. And God's coming looking for some pleasure out of your life. The question is he getting any?
Yeah, come on, bro.
Hold your place here in Luke and look in Revelation 19, Revelation 4. I'll show you. It's Bible. Why God put you here. If you don't leave here with nothing but this, get a hold of this. God put you on this earth for his pleasure.
Yeah, amen.
God gave you life for His glory. God didn't give you life so you can have pleasure. Amen. I mean, I'm glad God gives us life. Let's just enjoy things. Amen. Hey, God is a good God. Amen. But I'm here for the purpose of bringing glory and honor to God.
Amen.
I'm talking about why God put breath in your lungs, why God would save your soul, why God would be so merciful to you. You're here to bring glory and honor to Him. And for 3 years, He's been looking for it.
Amen.
And He didn't find it. And He said, man, that's enough. If they ain't going to do why I'm put them here, let's just be done with them. And God the Son looked at the Father and said, oh, I'll give them another year.
Amen.
Oh, let me dung it. Let me fertilize it. And what, you know what, God, you know, just take it, maybe this was your year. You know what God's been doing maybe all last year, or maybe coming up to this year in your life? He's been fertilizing. He's been digging around your trench outside your trunk or your tree. And God's been cultivating things in your life. He's been putting people in your life to talk to you about the Lord and talk to you about walking with God and serving God. And God's saying, I want some fruit. I want some fruit. All I see you as leaves. I'm tired of the leaves. I want some fruit. And if you don't soon do something with the fertilizer that I'm giving you, and the word of God, and the exhortation, and the help, and the push, hey, I just might cut you down. Look in Revelation chapter number 4. The rapture of the church takes place in Revelation chapter number 4. When John wrote, he wrote about the future, and he said he saw that window in heaven open and to come up hither call. That's the rapture of the church. The children of God are going home, and boy, there's going to be an awful time after that, and you don't want to be here. But they're up in the celestial city of heaven. They're up in the third heaven where God abides, and they're around the throne, and there's glory to God in the highest. Amen. And they're shouting victory because He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And hallelujahs and holy, holy, holies is going on in verse 8. Look in verse number 9. The Bible said that when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sit on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, they're worshiping God. You're getting a picture of the future in heaven, what it's all about, and all the things of the world and the flesh is out of the way, and it's just pure worship to a holy God, because that's what He deserves. And here's what they say. Look what they say in verse 9. Hey, thou art worthy. I want you to know God's worthy today. Amen. Hey, thou art worthy is what they'll say. Oh, Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now look at this. For thou hast created what? How much? You listen to me. God created all things. Well, I don't believe He made it. Hey, go ahead, man. Be what you want to. Believe alive you want to. He made it all. Hey, man, He created all things. But look at this. Here's the kicker. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. Do you know why God made it all? For His pleasure. And when you get in the cities of God, if you're saved, that's where you're going to be. They're talking about us sitting there. You're getting a picture of us standing above us, standing at first and then kneeling before the throne and saying, holy, 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 glory God, all glory to God. And they're praising God. And they're saying what's true. Hey, you created all things for Your pleasure, for Your glory. Hey, God put you here to bring glory to Him. And He's dug in your life to try to make it happen. And this coming a year, God said, enough's enough. Cut it down. I'm tired of the fruitlessness.
Amen.
Why cumbereth it the ground? God was tired of their fruitlessness, and He cut them down. Amen. Hey, their purpose was to bring glory and honor to God. He sought for it. He seeked it. Amen. But He found none. That was their purpose. Amen. Not only I see the purpose why God put us here when God looking for fruit in their lives, but I see God's patience. You've seen it. I've said it over and over. 3 years He came looking. He was patient. I mean, it's patient. I mean, 3 whole years, and God done so, it was so good to their lives. God created them. God called the nation of Israel out. Hey, God called us out. God saved us. And for 3 years, that's all He's got is self-righteousness. All He's got is just a little bit of a show of outward form with no power of God on the inside. Just a little, you know, lay me down to sleep prayer. Just half-heartedly serving the Lord, just enough just to get by. It's the way we live as Americans, you know, just enough to get by. Amen. Hey, but that ain't the way you ought to live to God, live towards God. Just enough to get by, you know. As long as they don't take my name off the roll. Just as long as they still know my name. I mean, just kind of a show. That's the way we live. And for 3 years, God's been patient. He says, hey, enough's enough. Where's the fruit? And he says, hey, cut it down. In the patience of the Lord, through the inspiration of the Trinity, they say, hey, give it another year. Let's just dunk about it a little more. Maybe this is the year God said, I'm just going to dug it one more time. I'm going to dig around and I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to put people in their lives. I'm going to open doors to try to give them some fruit. But if they don't take heed, my patience is going to wear out.
Amen.
He was patient. Has God not been patient with us?
Amen.
I mean, look at your life and the fruitlessness that God has had out of our lives since the day God saved you.
Amen.
I mean, what have you got to lay down at his feet since he saved you? I mean, what have you done other than a little bit of self-righteous acts, you know? I mean, I believe you ought to be in church and serving the Lord and worshiping God. But if that's all he gets, a little bit of a church service, what is that, man? What is it if you go to church every once in a while and throw a couple of dollars in the plate?
Come on.
Hey, what is it if you go to church and throw a couple of thousand in the plate? I mean, what is that? Amen. A little self-righteous act. And said, well, look at me. Hey, that's what the Pharisees did, man. Showed up around worship time, said long prayers, long robes, and throw money in the plate. Look at us. We giving more than them. Hey, God wants more than your self-righteous acts. God wants more than just a little bit of a show every once in a while and a little bit of jingle in the plate, amen. That ain't popular preaching for the preacher to get some church money, amen. But we're not about church money and we're not about your Phariseeism. I'm about walking with God out of a pure heart. God wants fruit out of your life.
Yeah.
God wants more than a little jingle in the plate, a little show up every once in a while and a little long prayer show. God wants a genuine life that brings fruit and glory to him.
Amen.
That when somebody sees there your life, they're seeing Jesus Christ. They're seeing the example of a Christian in this world. Hey, for 3 years, that's all they got. Maybe God's saying, hey, I'm going to give you one more year. This could be your year that God dungs around you all he can and puts all the effort he can in you. But if you shun the effort of God and the conviction of the Holy Ghost and the push of God's people that God puts in your life, what else does he got left to do?
Preach it, brother.
How much more exhortation can he give you? He was tired of their fruitlessness. He was patient. And he had a plan. His plan was very clear. You've seen it, amen. He dunged it. He fertilized it. He dug about it. He put forth effort on his part. Hey, God wants you to bear fruit more than you want it. Amen. God wants a relationship with you. God wants fruit out of your life. God's sick and tired of the self-righteous so much that he wants to cut it down. But he's working and he's got a plan. He said, man, we can make this work. I'm telling you we can make it work. And we preach things like that, like what had given us the advantage, or that Satan should get the advantage. And so we teach you the word of God. Hey, get the advantage by getting in the house of God, getting around godly people, praying and getting in your Bible. Those good things, that's that cultivate. That's that digging about it. That's that fertilizer. And that's what God's doing. Hey, but if you shun it, it won't do nothing with it. How can we help you?
Amen.
What more can we do?
Amen.
God said, enough's enough, man. This is the year. We're going to dung it. We're going to dig. We're going to do all we can. But if something don't happen soon, we'll just cut it off.
Yeah.
Will this be the year that God gets tired of your fruitlessness? Could it be? Look in John chapter 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 15 deals with fruit. There's a lot of things about fruit in the Bible, but I like this chapter about fruit. Amen. The fruit. You know what God wants? God wants fruit. He's looking for fruit. He sought for it. He seeked it. Amen. He was looking and he got sick and tired of seeing no fruit. Why is it that God saves people from a devil's hell and they never conform to the image of Christ and never become a witness and never become an example and never bring forth fruit and pleasure and honor to the God that created them and then saved them? Why? John 15, verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth what? More fruit. I mean, just in that verse of Scripture itself, it beareth fruit, but he wants more fruit. If you look down to verse number 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That is the work of God in a Christian's life. It starts out with fruit, but God said, I want more fruit. And I want it to bring forth much fruit. That's the continual growth in a child of God's life. Amen. Hey, you might can't bring forth much fruit. Amen. Hey, you might not can bring forth more fruit, but you can bring forth some fruit. Amen. That's the way it starts. That's how it works. As a babe in Christ, desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God, and you grow, and you begin to grow, and you get a little bit of fruit out of your life. And God said, man, that's good. I like that. Amen. That tastes real good. I like the smell and the savior of it. Amen. Bring forth some more fruit. And God said, boy, I like that more, but give me some much fruit. Amen. Hey, that's growth in the Christian life. God don't expect you to arrive overnight, but God expects you to start bearing fruit soon. You plant that fruit tree, whether it be apple or orange or whatever. Hey, several years, there's no fruit. And it's okay because it can't bear fruit. It's young. It's tender. But after a while, there got to be some fruit. Or we're going to say, what are we planting for? Shade? I want an apple. I want the orange. I want to enjoy it. Amen. I plant. Hey, Brother Ted does vineyards, and he's got grapes. Amen. Him and Miss Jennifer, he didn't plant them out there just so he had some vines in the yard. He said, hey, eventually I want to have some fruit, man. I want to enjoy the taste of the grape, amen. Hey, but after that, I want more, amen. But then I want much. I'm not satisfied. Hey, that's what God expects. The more you live in this thing, the more you can bring forth. Where much is given, much is required. God's raised you in the Word of God and taught you better than that. There to be more than what you got. That's God's plan. His plan is to bring forth fruit. Amen. He has a purging method to make it happen. Hey, the Bible said in verse number 2, every branch that is in me beareth not fruit, he taketh away, but every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. You know what he does with that fruit tree? He cuts it back. You know what you do with those bushes, amen, when you come winter? You cut them back so springtime it begins to blossom out and spread out and get bigger, right? Those rose bushes and those fruit bushes, and you just cut it back to about dead, man, sometimes. I got some, what do you call them, box roses? Knockout roses. I looked at the thing one time, how do you prune it back? Man, they'll cut it down about that far, ain't nothing left but a stump. I think, man, you're going to kill that thing. Cut it down that far. And there's a certain season when it's got to happen or you will kill it. And you know what God knows? God knows the season when to come by and chop some stuff out of your life and start cutting it back. And boy, you look like sometimes you're about to die.
Yeah.
How in the world I'm going to make it? Boy, I can't take no more heat than this God's putting on my life. You ever felt like that the last year? Hey, just cut me down to the quick, man, where it's bleeding. Hey, I ain't got much life left, but God knows how much he can cut back. He knows what to purge out, that you'll bring forth more fruit. And God's just working in your life to get more glory and honor out of your life. Hey, let him do what he wants to do. Let him bring forth the fruit. Don't give up. Let him keep dugging. Let him keep cutting. God's got a purpose in your life.
Yeah.
So I'll just quit. I'll run away. That's not the answer. God's wanting fruit out of your life.
Yep.
Amen. Run away from the vineyard. How are you going to make it, amen, away from the vineyard? Hey, God's cutting it back. He cuts it back to bring forth more fruit. That's what he did in verse 2. He said, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That cutting back is a type of cleansing. And God wants to cleanse the filth out of your life. You know what God to do? God to start cutting some things out. Hey, you got saved, man, you just green as can be. Hey, sometimes even, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, after you got saved, sometimes you even slip some bad words. You know? Done some things you shouldn't have did. Went some places you had no business going. I'm talking about blood-washed, saved children of God. You born again. God saved your soul. But you know what? You had some things that were filthy. You know what God does? He said, I got to cut that out.
Yeah.
You know what God will do with some of them bad friends in your life? God will cause a wedge in there to cut you away from them.
Amen.
You'll get in a fight and fuss with them. Probably cuss them out. And God's trying to get them out of your life. Because
yeah.
They bad for you.
Yeah.
But it hurts, don't it? And you don't realize God's doing it. God's trying to get things out of your life. He's trying to clean you up. He's trying to cut people and things and places and stuff out of your life. He's purging you. God wants more fruit. God said, I'm tired of this fruitless life. I want more fruit. Amen. And if you don't soon bring it, I'm going to just cut you all the way down.
Amen.
God's purging you. How much did he purge last year? And some of you thought, well, I don't know if I can take much more heat of that. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Amen. Let me tell you, stay in the vineyard. God's got a plan. I know it hurts to be cut back, but God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to get things out of your life to get the best glory and honor out of your life. And if you'll trust him, he'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul and Silas over there in the Philippian jail. Boy, it didn't look good. God cutting back and throwing them in jail and in prison and beating them. But there was an old jailer over there lost without God needing to be saved. And God cut back and he put them over there and they still sang praises and still praying, still pressed on. And the jailer got saved and his household got saved. And God done great works, God, because they didn't give up.
Yeah.
God's cutting things out of your life. God's got a bigger picture in this thing. He wants fruit. Let him do what he wants to do. He had a plan. He purged it so he can clean it up. Amen. And again, you see his patience. Amen. He said, abide in me and I in you. I see his powerfulness. He said, for without me, you can do nothing. I'm telling you, just stay connected to the branch. Hey, stay in there with the Lord. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Hey, God can bring something out of your life.
Yes.
I mean, you look back, some of you look back and be honest. Did you ever thank God have you where you are right now?
Amen.
And if we'd all be honest, where we ever have arrived is not arrived.
Amen.
You know, but we don't deserve to be where we are.
Right.
God could have said, hey, cut it down, man.
Amen.
After that, cut it down, dig it up. Somebody go get the backhoe. You know what some of us needed in our lives? God would have been right to take the backhoe and dig us up at the roots and throw us in the furnace.
Yeah.
But he's been patient.
Amen.
But his patience is wearing thin. He was tired of the foolishness. Of fruitlessness, excuse me. Number two, he was tired of the foolishness. God got tired of their foolishness. Amen. God get tired of their mockery of God and their self-righteousness and they're making their own laws, doing their own thing, dishonoring the Word of God. They didn't set up the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their own religions and their own ways. And God said, I'm sick and tired of that foolishness. You want Caesar? Go ahead and get him, man, but you ain't getting me. Hey, God was tired of the foolishness just as tired as the fruitlessness. Amen. Hey, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, God's getting tired of the foolishness. Amen. The things that you're doing is just downright wrong.
Yeah.
3 years, man. That's all I got out of you is foolishness. He was tired of the foolishness. Their falsehood. You know what foolishness is? Foolishness is connected with falsehood. I think about Ananias and Sapphira over there in Acts chapter number 5. Over there, you know what? There was a bunch of falsehood. If you don't know the story, Ananias in Acts chapter number 5, him and Sapphira, that's his wife. She's a fireball, amen. Sapphira, amen. Ananias and Sapphira went down there and they wanted to be known among the crowd as somebody holy, pious, and love the Lord, you know. And Barnabas had sold his possessions and gave it to the church and they were doing a work for God and they said, we'll do the same thing and that's okay. Hey, you want to help yourself? Go ahead. But they wasn't doing it just because they wanted to do something to help God's people or help the growth of the early church. They done it so they might be recognized.
Yep.
And they kept back part of it being privately to it. Amen. After they made their vow and said, we're going to do it, then they thought, man, this is more than I thought I'd get. I don't know if I'm giving all that. And so they went in there and her husband went in first and they laid it down and said, hey, well, here we got. We got what we're giving the Lord. Here's it all. And he said, Peter said, man, that ain't all. You know, paraphrasing. Where's the, oh, yeah, that's everything. And boom, there he went dead. You know what God said? I'm tired of that foolishness. Your falsehood and playing around, acting like you're something you're not, putting on that facade, painting your face up, looking real good, but you know you're wicked as hell. And people think you love the Lord, but all you do is live like hell all week and come to church and act all holy. Amen. You know, for 3 years he'd been letting you sit there on that pew do the same thing. Sooner or later God might say, hey, enough's enough. And I said, Sapphira walked in there that day and God said, enough's enough.
Yeah, amen.
They toted him out and buried him out behind the church. Probably the first church cemetery made right there in Acts chapter 5. Wasn't just a couple hours later, here come his wife, rolled up in there and guess what? She lied also and the Holy Ghost smote her down. They carried her out and buried her right beside him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Him and her right beside one another, buried out there around the back of the church. Probably buried out there so people can be reminded that death is real. You pull in this parking lot, you know, death is real. Life is short. You better quit playing games. I'm tired of the foolishness, amen. And we putting up with that mess around here. That fake facade, a show of Christianity and no realness. God said, hey, you keep playing around, I'll just cut you off. Some of you young people think it's all a game church, you know. Mom and daddy's religion, we'll do it. God said, hey, go ahead and keep thinking that way.
Yeah,
you've got by for about 18 years, but the 19th one might be the one I'm doing.
Amen.
Amen.
Foolishness might catch up with you.
Amen.
Because sin is against an evil works not executed speedily. The proverb says, hey, therefore the hearts of the son of men are fully setting them to do evil. Some of you living that foolish life, living like the world, you know better than that. You've been taught better than that, raised better than that, and God said, that enough's enough. Hey, come a year, you keep playing around that mess, God will wrap you around a pine tree somewhere.
Yeah.
Go ahead, amen, sit behind mom and daddy's back and, you know, smoke your weed and live like hell, amen. Hey, go ahead, there'll come a day, God said, this year I'm done with it.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of you going down to Sunday school and acting like you love God and toting your Bible and living like hell and fornicating and carrying on out in the world.
Amen.
Come on, brother.
That's what he did in Acts, 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Had a boy laying around committing fornication in the church, not so much as named among the Gentiles. In other words, hey, that ain't even what the world does. Hey, some people living in the church more wicked than people in the world's doing. That's why they look at the church and say, well, that's a Christian, I'm one. And God said, go ahead and keep playing. Well, I've been getting by. Yeah, you have. But they might come a year, God says, go ahead and cut her down. Go ahead and take her out. That's enough. I'm tired of the foolishness. God got tired of Israel's foolishness and he cut them off and granted in the Gentile. And God sooner or later is going to get tired of our foolishness. Well, I ain't got caught yet. Yeah, it won't be long, mom and daddy gets the news you pregnant. It won't be long, mom and daddy gets the news you done messed up. And God says, you know what that is? That's God saying, cut her down. Let me throw a child in the mix. Let me bring a disease. Let him rip her heart out. He might cut it down like that and take that boy of your dreams out of your life and said, eat that for a while and make you live with it.
Amen.
He's tired of the foolishness. God, you know what he did in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5? He turned him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That the spirit might be saved in the day of Christ.
Amen.
He was tired of it. Cut her down. He was tired of the falsehood. I see he was tired of fornication. He's tired of the folly. Hop nine finished. Man, you find all kinds of examples in the Word of God. They were caught up with it, man. And it finally caught up with them. All the folly they was doing out the house of God and the falsehood and playing around with the holy things of God. And hop nine finished down there just thought they were living the dream, man. Daddy's the priest. We getting by. Two brothers just supping in the blessings off all of it. And to come a year and God said, that's enough. Hewn her down right there. And his two boys went out to war. And the next thing, the old fat daddy sitting over there on that chair. That's what the Bible said about him. He's sitting over there on that chair and he gets back news that his two boys is dead. You know why? Because God told him to get his house in order and he wouldn't do it.
Yep.
And so he wouldn't do it. God said, I'll do it. And he killed both his boys and he fell back with his fat self and broke his neck and died also. That's what the book says. Go over there and read it in 1 Samuel chapter number 4. You know why? Because God got sick and tired of the foolishness and the folly and the falsehood and the fornication. And God said, cut it off. Cut it down. This might be the year God gets tired of that foolishness. God gets tired of that fruitlessness. This might be the year God gets tired of that fruit faithfulness. Faithlessness.
Yep.
There's no faith. There's no faith in Israel. And hey, show us a sign. Be no sign given unto you, but like the sign unto Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth in hell, so shall the Son of Man be. Where's your faith? That they didn't want faith. They wanted a sign. And God showed them, you need faith. Your faithlessness was one day God will say, enough's enough. You know that's what he said over there in Genesis chapter number 6? Right before he flooded and destroyed the earth in that great flood of Noah's day. You know what he said? He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know what he's saying? Enough's enough. I give them enough years.
Right.
And now their hearts are full of imagination of wickedness. And he said, cut it down.
Yeah.
He said, build me an ark. I'm fit to flood it, destroy them all. His spirit ain't always dry. You know what God's saying? I'm tired of your faithlessness. My spirit ain't always going to strive with you.
Amen.
Some of you here, listen to me. You're lost without God. And if you'd take your last breath, you'd wake up in hell. And God is giving you the gospel time after time, year in and out and over, and you sit back there thinking, well, I'll try it another year. This might be the year God says, cut it off.
Amen.
Stop convicting. Stop drawing. Let them sit down that pew and go to hell off the pad.
Yeah. Preach it, bro.
Why ain't you going to do something with what God's done for you? How much longer are you going to postpone it and think God's going to say, yeah, I just like that. I just like you spitting in my face every day. I just like you crucifying the Son of God afresh every week.
Amen.
Hey, you think God's pleased with that? You ain't reading about the God of this Bible. You reading about some fairy tale God that's chasing bunnies and running down chimneys.
Amen.
The God of that book is a holy God that says, hey, 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 I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
How much more I'm going to stretch forth my hand and you're going to spike a stake in there over and over? How much more do I need to do a hunger between heaven and earth and show my love to you? But you want another day with the old world? They want another old day with them stinking frogs?
Yeah, amen.
That's what you want? Tired of your faithlessness. My spirit ain't always going to strive. Enough's enough. Destroy it. Just like the son that was constantly brought, that was brought before the disciples, and they tried to, you know, he had that evil spirit, amen, and the Lord come down off that mountain. He said, bring him to me. You know what you need to do with that faithlessness is bring it to God.
Amen.
And let God do something with it today. Do you know what you need to do that's lost without God? You need to make your way out of that pew, come to an old-fashioned altar, and bow before a holy God and say, God, have mercy on me. Save my soul for Jesus' sake. I can't save myself. I can't clean myself up. I can't keep me. I fall under the mercy of God, and I guarantee you God will save your soul from hell.
Amen.
Move inside of you and give you the joy you've never had in your life. Some of you say, you know what you need to do? You need to stop living that foolish life. You need to stop living that fruitless life. You need to lay yourself on an altar and say, God, dung me this year. Dig all about me. Cultivate. Take my life and bring glory and honor to you.
Yeah.
I want to do something for you. And if you'd help me and I get in that branch and you prune me off and you cut back and give me faith to just take it when it gets rough, because it's going to get like that. That's the real part of Christianity. It ain't no cakewalk, man. You living in a stinking world that does not know God. Anti-God is what this world is. And yet, down at the job you work, they don't love God. Down at the school you go into, they don't love God. You're in that old world, and you're going to have to fight it, amen. But hey, just let God prune it out and cut you and enjoy the ride, man. Let God get glory and honor out of your life, and you'll be glad you've done it, amen. When you bow before the Lord, as he spoke about in Revelation 4, have me no regrets. God, you created me for your glory and your honor. Hey, thank you for the life you've given me. You're the best things ever happened in my life.
Amen.
3 years. He said, cut it down. And the Lord said, no. The dresser of the vineyard said, let's give him one more chance. Let's give him one more year. And man, I'll do all I can to make it happen. I'll dig all I can around it. I'm telling you, you know what the Lord does? God puts people behind this pulpit, your pastor, these other preachers in here, guest preachers are coming here, and God's putting messages on their hearts and saying, hey, come on, give them, you know what my prayer is? God, give them one more chance. Let today be the day they walk the aisle. Let the day be the day that teenager gets the light of this thing and see it ain't worth it and come get right. I know you think we just evil and hate you and trying to cut at you. No, we're trying to help your marriage. We're trying to help your kids. We're trying to see the lost saved. Amen. That's the picture. The devil's showing you the other side. Why don't you come to God? Amen.
Yeah,
amen. How much more has he got to do? But there ain't but so much prayer mom and daddy can do. There ain't but so much compassion the preacher and everybody can ask for until God says, hey, cut it off. Cut it off. Would this be the year? Is this your service? Is this your chance? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Why don't you do something with the Word of God? Why don't you come? Why don't you get you some help?